Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show, where our goal is to make the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover a wide range of topics from common courtesies and communication skills to everyday life interactions, only to name a few. We should all be aware that etiquette truly encompasses every area of our lives. If you are listening live, call 516-418-5894. And now, here is your host, certified speaker, teacher, trainer, author, and coach, known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Today is Sunday, December 20th, 2020. Isn't that something? So 12-20-2020. And we're broadcasting live from the chilly city of Atlanta. This evening, we will be talking about gifts. And just in case you're wondering by the music, it probably gave you a clue. We're going to be talking about miracles, and I'm so excited about that 5 days from Christmas, okay? Listen, thank you for spending part of your evening with us. I am just so delighted that you're here. For the people who may be joining us for the first time, I always want to answer the question, what is etiquette anyway? And etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior. And by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. I don't know about you, but that is certainly what I would like. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Who we have to thank for that is Charles I and II of England. Because you know what? They copied these rules from the French court. And they became requirements of behavior everywhere. So kudos to Charles and Beckett. Well, wow, so it is 5 days before Christmas. What do you want for Christmas? Are you one of those that is last-minute shopping and you're kind of stressed out because you're running around trying to figure out exactly what you're going to purchase? Have you made your list out yet, and have you let others know what you want? If not, then I'm sure you are running out of time. And of course, I'm sure the kids and the grandkids listen. I know they always, certainly, in advance. And so that's a good thing. Well, listen, we are again going to be discussing the gift, and we're going to be talking about a gift that keeps on giving. I wonder what that might be. So tell you what, tune in, and you are certainly going to find out. And I do want to say, if you want to join the conversation live, We'd be delighted for you to do that. You can call us at 516-418-5894, 516-418-5894, or just send us an email to MissDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. Well, first of all, I would like to introduce to some and perhaps reintroduce to others my wonderful co-host. She was on, sometime last year, she was on, and I am so excited to have her back. It is Pastor Desiree Fowler. She and her husband, Aaron, they are the pastors of Bridging the Gap Ministries in Detroit, Michigan. She's known as Pastor Des. And so Pastor Des is also the chaplain with the Detroit Police Department. Wow, that is wonderful. And, of course, she and her husband, they are my brother and sister's pastors. And I tell you what, if I resided in Michigan, I would, you know what, their church would certainly be my church home as well. So I'd like to introduce Pastor Des. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you, Miss Donna?
I am doing well. Happy Sunday to you.
Same to you. Same to you. Happy holiday to you.
Thank you. I'm so excited that you are back with us. Oh, wow. It's been a while. So it's a little overdue. It's definitely time for you to be back. I'm so excited. And listen, gosh, for such a wonderful, wonderful segment. I don't know what Christmas means to you, but I know it means a lot to me. What is just something that you can tell us that Christmas means to you? It's such an exciting time of the year right now.
It really is. This is actually my family and most people that know me know this is my absolute favorite time of the year. I love this time of the year. And, you know, I think that it has definitely changed over the years. And as you get older, you know, my mother used to say, when you know better, you do better. And so as we get older, we start to understand and appreciate things greater. And so I know starting off when you were talking, I was reflecting back to my children. They are now 33 and 29 coming up this year. Time has gone by.
Mm-hmm.
but as they were growing up, as you were talking, I was reflecting back to when they were growing up, we started to teach them about giving. So at Christmas time, we would have them adopt a child. We lived in South Carolina at the time, and there was one of the radio stations would allow you to adopt a family or a child. And so we started them out early, understanding that it's, you know, important for us to give and to take care of other people and not just necessarily for us to receive stuff. And so we started that out, and I'm thankful because I think that is carried, has remained true with both of them through the years. But this is just such a beautiful time of year when we certainly just celebrate the birth of Christ, and we're thanking God for, you know, the gift, the ultimate gift. We're thanking God for the ultimate gift. And so that is what it is for me, being able to celebrate that, as well as such a time, especially this year, 2020, so much has transpire over this year, and certainly we see people in need at a greater level than we have ever before. People that have not had to stand in the line before, who have not needed a food box before, who have not needed, you know, financial assistance before. But this year it has really impacted so many people in so many different ways. And so this is just an awesome time to be able to just reach out and be a blessing to so many people that are in need. And again, I say every year, but especially this year, we have all, I think everybody, I don't care where you live, what state you live in, or what, you know, how well you do, or, you know, whatever your income status is, we certainly can see that so many people are in need this year. So I'm just so grateful also for the opportunity to be able to be a blessing and to help other people.
Absolutely, absolutely, because, you know, oftentimes this holiday can, you know, become so over-commercialized.
That's right.
Yeah, and many times the actual true meaning of the holiday just sort of gets pushed aside. And it's like, oh, give me, I want this, I want that. Did you see my list? I want this. Did you give me this?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think this is, you know, what you were saying, this is a really, you know, it's a special year to really reach out more to see who you can help, you know, that it's just so important about this holiday. And we're definitely going to talk about the, you know, the true meaning of the holiday, because, you know, like I said, a lot of times it can become so overshadowed, you know.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we, when they say keep the real thing, how is that saying? Keep the main thing, or the real thing? Which one is it?
Absolutely. That is so true. Yes, I definitely agree. We get so far off the mark sometimes, but it's important for us to stay focused. It's important for us to, like you said, keep the main thing the main thing. Let's not forget what's important. And I know last Sunday, I believe it was, I preached a message about the talent. Over in the book of Matthew, talents and gifts. And I know for me, this has been a year of actually as we approach in the end of the year, just to do a self-examination and just reflect on the gifts and the talents that he has given us. I think we need to also remember that as well, the gift of salvation, but also remember what came with that, what he has deposited in us, that we can make sure that we're utilizing that gift, those gifts, skills, abilities, and talents that he's given us, because he's looking for us to do just that. So, yeah, it's definitely a good time of the year, definitely a good time.
Yes, because we have to understand the gifts and talents that we have have not been given to us just for us.
Come on,
you know?
Come on, Ms. Thomas. Yes.
Yeah, it's important.
Yes.
We have to share and we have to give. You know, so we have to start doing that. But I'm going to definitely go back and listen to your message. I know Lonnie and Ernestine were telling me about the message, and I said, oh my gosh, it was just phenomenal. And I know I'm sure, you know, it was, because every time I've heard you preach and teach, along with your husband, Pastor Aaron, you all are always on fire, and it's just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So, in talking about some of the gifts and miracles, I have someone that is going to share. She called in a little bit and participated on the show last week, but this evening, I just want to really call attention to her, because you were talking about gifts and miracles. I mean, this woman is an absolute walking miracle. And I'm just going to tell you, audience, a little bit about her. Her name is Evelyn Cartwright, and she's a native of Hamburg, Arkansas. She currently resides in Phoenix, Arizona, with her son, her daughter, and her two beautiful grandchildren. Every challenge she has faced, God has used to give her compassion, passion, and an anointing to minister to hurting individuals. And she has also been featured on CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network, and that's Pat Robinson's network. She was featured on there sharing her testimony, which was just phenomenal, and you'll be able to certainly hear that shortly. And her desire is to introduce the lost to Jesus, to spark hope in the hopeless, and to ignite faith in the hearts of individuals in need of healing, as well as deliverance mm-hmm. and restoration. She teaches and speaks as well. She is also the author of the new book, I Know What It Looks Like, But I Choose to Believe God. And she strongly, yeah, it's powerful. Oh, yes, and we're going to talk about that too. She strongly believes that with faith in God, and she will tell you, with faith in God, all things are possible. And hello, hello.
Hello. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. And could you say hello to Pastor Dez?
Hello, Pastor Dez.
Hello. How are you, my sister? Wow, that book
I'm
is
doing
awesome.
Well.
Good to meet you. Good to meet you. I'm excited to hear your testimony.
You too. You too.
Oh, my goodness. So Miss Evelyn, you know, wherever you want to begin will be just fine because, I mean, it's just powerful and power-packed. And so I just want you to take your time and just, you know, just share with us, if you would, during this season of gratitude.
Okay.
And Yes,
first thing is I appreciate God for giving me this opportunity to share his goodness. And I also want to say that I don't believe that there's anything wrong with giving and receiving gifts during this season. But what I don't believe is that we need to let all of that material stuff get us so caught up that we forget about the ultimate gift, the most wonderful gift, and that's the gift of Jesus Christ and how he gave his life. God gave his son gave his life, and because his son gave his life, we have life. And so we don't need to forget about that the real reason that we're celebrating is we're celebrating that Jesus gave his life for us. And so, as you said, that is the ultimate gift. That's the ultimate gift. And God blessed me with what I call another chance at life because, before I get into my testimony, I just want to say that God has been so good to me and he's done so many wonderful things for me that I know on this show I won't be able to tell everything that he's done for me, but I just want to share enough so that people will know how good God is and how if you have faith in God that he will turn situations around, things that seem impossible become possible with God. And my saying is that if God is in it, then it's subject to change. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how long the situation has existed. When you put God in it, it becomes subject to change. And so,
Amen.
So, to talk about a couple of my testimonies, the first one I want to talk about is the when I was diagnosed with a tumor on my brain. And I had been suffering from debilitating headaches for years and just assumed that it was high blood pressure, you know, never really thought a lot about it. And one day it got so bad that it drove me to the emergency room. And when I got there, they did a brain scan, and they said they saw a mass on my brain, but they couldn't determine what the mass was. Then they did an MRI, and they came back and told me that they saw a tumor on my brain. And so, but the way they told me, it was devastating to me, and it was words that I'll never forget as long as I live. When the doctor walked into the room to give me the results of the MRI, he said, "Mrs. Cartwright, I've got some good news, and I've got some bad news." He said, "The bad news is that there's a tumor on your brain." He said, "The good news is the tumor is not cancerous." So while I was devastated by the news, I suppose that was a good part, that the tumor wasn't cancerous, but that was devastating news to me. You know, you often hear stuff like that when it concerns someone else, but when it's about you, then it's just unreal. And so for about a couple of weeks, I was just in a state of dwelling on the diagnosis and what the doctor had said. But after a couple of weeks, God reminded me of something that he had told me 2 weeks prior to the diagnosis. And 2 weeks prior to the diagnosis, the Spirit of the Lord had spoke to me and said that your latter shall be greater and your best is yet to come. And all of a sudden that just popped back, just came back to my memory. And when I thought about that, I was like, oh, my God, the Lord said that to me. So if he just said that to me 2 weeks ago, then, devil, I'm not dying. I'm not dying right now because that's a promise. He told me that my latter would be greater and my best was yet to come. And when I thought about that, when I recall that, it's like it just sparked hope in me. Hope just rose up in me. And I said to myself, you know, sometimes we have to talk to ourselves. And I said to myself, I said, devil, you are a liar. You can get behind me because I believe God. I said, but my best is yet to come. My best is yet to come, and you are not going to steal that from me. So what I did is I turned my focus from what the doctors had said and what the situation looked like, and I refocused myself. I refocused myself on God and what God's word had said, and I started believing that. And so I knew, though, I had faith, but I felt like I still needed more faith. So what I did is I reinforced my faith by getting into the Word of God, because the Word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight, and it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I wrote out scriptures on faith and healing, and I would say those out loud on a very regular basis, and they just began to get into my spirit. And the more I did it, the more I believed what I was reading, And one of the first scriptures that I started standing on was, I shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. That was the very first scripture that I began to stand on. Sister Donna, you can stop me when you get ready.
Actually, if I can just, if you can put a pin in it for just a moment, because I know that there are people that listen to the show of different faiths, but here's what I would like for you to explain to some people may be thinking right now. Okay, she said that the Lord said to her, what does that mean? I mean, did you hear an audible voice, or was it something in your spirit? For just some of those who are just not clear, and they may be thinking, well, wow, I've never heard God's voice. So, I mean, how do you put yourself in a position to hear God's voice? So if you would speak to those people who are maybe thinking, like, wow, I mean, how did she hear, you know, God's voice?
I believe that the first thing you have to do to hear God's voice is you need to be in a relationship with him. Once you're in a relationship with him, he says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. So once you get in a relationship with God and you begin to get into his presence and begin to seek him through prayer and however, then you become familiar with the voice of God. You hear him in your spirit. You hear his Holy Spirit, and he speaks to you through your spirit. So once you get into that, that's the first step, is getting establishing a relationship with God and spending time with him and getting to know him. And once you start to hear his voice, then it is vitally important that you obey his voice.
That's good. And for those persons that are, you know, maybe new and still aren't quite sure, it's basically the same when you're in a relationship with your daughter or your mom. When you're in a relationship, you hear their voice because you speak to them and you communicate with them. And so very good. And I certainly wanted you to explain that to, you know, people, because I know somebody's out there is thinking, okay, how does she hear his voice? I don't get it. So we want to make sure everybody's clear, because we want to be able to certainly encourage some people. So you can go right ahead, unless Pastor Des has a question right now in the midst.
No, I'm just. I want to hear her test, the rest of her testimony. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. I love
yes,
what
go.
She said, you know. Yeah, so just keep
yes.
going. No, this is so good.
Go right ahead.
Okay, so
Evelyn, yes.
So what I did is I reinforced my faith by getting into the Word of God. And once I reinforced my faith, then I eventually, not all at once, but eventually I got to a point where there was nothing that the doctors could say. There was nothing, no comment that anybody could make that could make me believe that God was not going to heal me. I mean, I couldn't believe anything other than that God was going to heal me. And so I got to that point. And when I got to that point, a lot of times when you think you're well on your way, then the enemy will come and try to make you doubt God. So I had got to one point, and they were doing MRIs on me every 3 months. So I went to this one appointment to get an MRI, and the doctor called me like a few days later and said, we need to do another MRI because the technician saw something that looked suspicious, and we just need to see what's going on. So I went back, and I had another MRI, and they said that the tumor had wrapped itself. Well, the tumor, first of all, was located behind my right eye. And they said that the tumor had wrapped itself around my orbit, which is the socket that holds your eye in. And they said the tumor had wrapped itself around my orbit. And so, but I said, you know what? I still believe God. And my daughter told me, she said, Mom, that's just going to be another part of your testimony. And sure enough, that's just another part of my testimony, that God healed me. And, but let me back up and say this. I don't know if I said this, that when I got the diagnosis from the doctor that I had the tumor on the brain, they sent me to see a neurologist. And once I saw the neurologist, he told me, well, my family went with me, and he told us that the tumor was inoperable. Now I'm thinking like, okay, it's bad enough I have a tumor on my brain, but now you're going to tell me that the tumor is inoperable? I'm like, oh, my. So, but like I said, after those 2 weeks and after God reminded me of his promise, I was just head on believing God, just believing God. But, yeah, I had an inoperable tumor on my brain, and it was behind my right eye. And God healed me through a process. It was a process. And I wanted it to happen like before I had to go through radiation treatments. And I remember saying, okay, God, I want you to heal me before I have to go through these radiation treatments, because I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to have to go through that. And so I'm believing God that he's going to heal me before I go into the radiation treatment. But that didn't happen. And I was like, okay, well, God, I know I believe you. I know I believe what you said. So why didn't you heal me before I had to go into the radiation treatment? But then the scripture came to me that talks about his ways not being our ways and his thoughts not our thoughts. God had a process that he wanted to take me through. I wanted to abandon the process, but I found out later that it was necessary for me to go through the process to get to the place where God wanted me to be. I had to go through the process, and a lot of times we don't want to go through the process, but I went through the process. And God did what he said, exactly what he said he was going to do. And all along the way, God was sending me encouraging words and encouraging messages from other people. And I think I call those things miracles, because I was at a church service one night, had never seen the minister, he'd never seen me. And he walked up to me, and he put his hands in my face, and he said, God said, you shall live and not die. And I said, my God. He said, something hit your body about 8 months ago that somebody thought was going to kill you. He said, but it's not going to kill you. He said, so you can go back and tell those people that are planning your funeral to stop planning your funeral, because God said you're going to live and not die. And I thought that was, I'm like, oh, my God, I know you're speaking to me. And it was just confirmation, because I already felt in my spirit that this sickness was not unto death. So that was just like a very strong confirmation for me when that minister told me that. And I just rejoiced in that word. And then there was another situation. This is important. I'm just talking. But this is important, too, why you have to know the voice of God. Because I was going to another church on a regular basis, and one Saturday evening, God said, I want you to go to this particular church tomorrow morning. And I'm like, well, God, I don't know anybody there. I've never been there. I don't know anybody there. And the Spirit of the Lord just impressed upon me, you have to go to this church. So I went to the church, not knowing anybody, just, you know, going in there. And when the pastor got up, he said, the Spirit of the Lord woke me up about 3 o'clock this morning. He said, I had my message all prepared, and the Lord had me change my entire message. And when he said what the title of his message was, I said, oh, God, you did that for me. He said, the title of my message this morning is How to Get Your Healing. And I said, oh, my God, I know you're speaking to me. And then in the middle of the message, he stopped in the pulpit, and he said, there's somebody that has a tumor, and I want to tell you that God said he's going to dissolve that tumor. You're going to go in for an MRI, and that tumor is going to be dissolved. And sure enough, the tumor was dissolved. When the doctor told me that the tumor was gone, he said the tumor was gone. And I'm trying to remember what he used, a specific word, and I can't recall the specific word. But when he told me the tumor was gone, I just began to praise God in the doctor's office. I just began to praise God in that doctor's office that the tumor was gone. So it was inoperable, so I couldn't have surgery. But God did the surgery. God fixed it. So I'm just here to encourage somebody that I don't care what's going on. I don't care if it's sickness or whatever. I don't care how long you've been in that state. I don't care, because when I asked the doctor how long did he think I had the tumor, he said probably over 20 years because it's a very slow growing tumor. He said, so it's probably been there about 20 years. So then that explained to me why I had horrific headaches all my life. Sometimes my head would hurt so bad I could not lift it up off of the bed. So that just explained a lot to me when he told me that that tumor had been on my brain for all those years. So that was just, I was just kept by the grace of God. I was just kept by the grace of God. I mean, there's nothing else that can explain that I'm walking around with a tumor on my brain for over 20 years and I'm still living and I'm still functioning. And you know, that was just God. That was just all God.
Wow. And I'm sure people are thinking, like, wait a minute, what? What? And in case you all are just listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show, we are talking about miracles and gifts. And callers, thank you so much for your patience. Our switchboard is lit up, and we are going to come to you. Thank you again for your patience. We did extend our show out some because we assumed that this was going to happen and we would have a great response. So I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Des if she would clear up something that some people might be thinking right now. Evelyn said that she had went to a church. She didn't know anybody there, but someone gave her a word, a prophetic word. And so I'm sure there's some people out there not really understanding that. Well, how could he tell her that when he didn't even know her? So we're going to talk about that in a minute. So, wow, and I know everybody's on the edge of their seat like I am. Oh, my goodness. So, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and then we are going to be right back in just a moment. You know what? You do not want to go away. We'll be right back.
DNA Professional Dry Cleaners is an extraordinary one-stop shop for all of your dry cleaning needs. In addition to clothing, drapes, comforters, and alteration services, we also provide tablecloth and napkin cleaning for corporate clients, including restaurants, hotels, and event centers. DNA Professional Dry Cleaners has a family-friendly atmosphere and quality customer service. We are so serious about taking care of our customers that if you can't come to us, we can come to you with our convenient pickup and delivery service. We offer same-day services, discounts on all prepaid orders. We'll notify you electronically when your order is ready, and we also provide statements and receipts. DNA Professional Dry Cleaners is located 822 Hambrick Road, Suite A, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083. Call 404-748-1602. 404-748-1602. Our goal is your complete satisfaction. DNA Professional Dry Cleaners. Are you looking for a fabulous voice? You found it here on MissDonnaSpeaks.com. Miss Donna's voice is one of a kind to fit any voiceover need for sure. The mission is to provide the voice you need to help your message stand apart from the rest. Believable is the first word that comes to most clients' mind when describing Miss Donna's voice. Miss Donna is available for script writing, on-hold and phone messaging systems, interactive voice response, live announcing, MC, commercials, narrations, audiobooks, documentaries, talk show hosting, and e-learning. Whether you are a brand new business, existing corporation, or entrepreneur, MissDonnaSpeaks.com is the right voice and choice for you. Customers are so busy that many times they don't have a lot of time to visit your website, but they will take 30 to 90 seconds to click and hear your commercial. Reach customers quickly with your professionally written and produced commercial, and not only will they be impressed, but also excited to do business with you. Your project will be delivered on budget and on time. Contact Miss Donna for all of your voiceover needs. www.missdonnaspeaks.com, www.missdonnaspeaks.com. Make the best choice. Hire Miss Donna's voice. This commercial was produced by According to the American Diabetes Association, the strongest evidence for diabetes prevention comes from the Diabetes Prevention Program, or DPP. Demonstrated that an intensive lifestyle intervention could reduce the incidence of type 2 diabetes by 58% over 3 years. The doctor told Evelyn, "I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is you have a tumor on your brain. The good news is the tumor is not cancerous." These words change Evelyn Cartwright's life forever. Will you choose to believe what God's word has to say about what you are facing, or will you choose to believe other sources? She and her amazing testimony was featured nationally on the 700 Club Christian Broadcasting Network. Follow her journey in her book titled, "I Know What It Looks Like, But I Choose to Believe God," by Evelyn Cartwright. This is a small book with a huge message. Send your speaking and book order request to efb1762@gmail.com. That's efb1762@gmail.com.
About miracles and gifts this evening. Oh my goodness, this is, gosh, I mean, what better show could we actually have during this time of the year, just before Christmas?
And I know before we went to break, I promised you that I would just have Pastor Des explain a little bit about that prophecy that was given to Evelyn. And then we're going to, directly after that, we're going to go to the phone so we can start picking up some of our callers. And again, callers, thank you so much for your patience. Pastor Des.
Yes, you asked about a prophet. She said that she went to a church one night, and that man of God had a word for her. And we know that it sounds like he had a prophetic word for her. And a prophet is a seer, a person that's inspired by God through the Holy Spirit to deliver a message. And so that is what she had. And a lot of times we'll find that when we go into churches. And what I love about God is that he uses someone that does not know your story. You know, it's real easy if Miss Donna has heard by way of the pages what I might be going through. That's one thing. But for me to walk up to a total stranger in the house of God and they give me a word about my situation that they have no idea of, it is God's way of letting us know I hear you. That I hear you. I haven't forgotten you. I haven't forsaken you. I hear you. And it serves as such a source of encouragement that God is who he says he is, and he is still listening. He hears, and he won't fail.
Wow. Thank you for that. And so those persons that were thinking, you know, I'm not really sure how does that work and how would they know. But and that's how you know it's confirmation, because they don't know your story. So you definitely
don't know.
And miracles and gifts come in all different sizes and shapes. And so we're going to start going to the phone. We're going to pick up some of our callers. And thank you again so much for your patience. We certainly do appreciate that. Our number, 516-418-5894. I'm going to actually announce the last four digits in your phone number, and you will know I'm referring to you. Extension 9930. Extension 9930. Hello.
This is 9930. Hey, Miss Donna, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. This is Brother Eddie. Hey,
hi,
I just thought
Eddie.
I would just chime in. And I know that someone had mentioned how would you know the voice of God, and I totally agree that you have to have that relationship. But from my experience, you know, and God has dealt with me in various areas and had me minister. I've had a ministry like a street witness ministry. So out there in the streets, you actually need a lot of power of God out there. And so God began to speak to me out of Isaiah 55:8. Says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, say the Lord." And so once he got that into me, then he started working with me on a small scale, not something great and big, but just very small scale. For example, as I would come out of prayer and maybe go about my daily duties or whatever I'm going to be doing, he would actually, I could be like at a Kroger grocery store, and I could be in the line, and I would just hear the voice of God say, "Take care of that." Or I could be at a drive up at a Hardee's or McDonald's, and he would say, "Pay for the one behind you." And as I kept following those little small things, then God started to work with me and deal with me on bigger things. So God starts us out small a lot of times. Now, I don't want to put a limit on God to say, well, it has to start small. But I think the minister said earlier, it's a process. And for some, it takes longer than others. Some people, he can throw them right in there, and they can do what he asks them to do. For others, it takes a process to get you to where he wants you to be. I know that for a long time I always wanted to raise somebody from the dead. But it was for selfish reasons. And he would tell me, no, you're not ready for that. And I would go back and pray some more. Oh, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Lord, you know I'm ready. And one day I had an opportunity to pray for someone at the hospital who had died, and the door was left ajar, and they had passed. And I went in the room, and I could not pray for that person. And that just confirmed in me that God knows all things, and, you know, he kept telling me I wasn't ready. There was nobody else in there but me and the dead man, but I wasn't able to follow him at that time. So that's when I got back on course, and then I did what God would have me to do, and that is to pray for people as he would have me to pray for them. No certain formula or anything like that, because his ways are not our ways. The ways that he will do it will often mesmerize us. So you hear the voice of God, let him begin to speak to you in small things. He'll and ask him. If you ask him, how can I do this or that, he will open it up much sooner than you ever believe, as long as you're not asking amiss and you want to heap it upon your own flesh and lust. So allow God to begin to use you and begin to pray and ask him to use you. That's it.
Wow. Very powerful. Very powerful testimony, absolutely. So, Pastor Dez, what do you think about that?
About what the gentleman just, the caller just said, just everything that's been said.
Yeah, Brother Eddie, yes.
I definitely agree with him. One thing we have to do, we have to realize that the gifts are not ours. And when we, God knows when our heart is not in the right place, when we have an ulterior motive. But when your motives are pure and all you want is to for God to be glorified in something, you can expect God to move. But if that's not the case, if you're, you know, desiring something from God for your own glory, for, you know, your own, for people to see you, not going to see the hand of God. But when we have our heart and mind towards God, and our desire is for him to be glorified and for others to see his power and his works and signs and miracles, we can expect to see God work. I love also, I wanted to touch on what Miss Evelyn Cartwright said when she began to pray. I have a question for her, but I wanted to comment on this. I love when she said she began to pray God's word. She began to give him back his word. She kept quoting different scriptures that she used, and I love that because God will respond to his word. When we pray, we ought to pray God's word and give him his word back, because he's going to come see about his word. We can cry and roll around in the floor, but when we pray God's word and we give God his word back, God is going to come back. He's going to come and see about his word. And I love what she said. We have to know the word. It's so important. It's so important for us to take time to spend, and she commented on that as well. It's important for us to take time to get into the word of God. This book is filled with so many promises. Covenant agreements, promises that we have with God. But if you don't know what belongs to you, if you don't know what you have a right to, then you can't go in and get your stuff. But when you know what the word of God says, you can go in and you can decree the word, you can speak the word, and have an expectation that I'm going to get just what I said. Why? Because what I'm asking for is in line with the word of God. So I love when she said that we have to, one, know the word of God to be able to pray the word of God, give God his word back, and two, we have to have an expectation. I heard her say that. She was expecting God to move. We have to have an expectation of the manifestation of God's word in our lives. I recently have a nephew that is in the hospital, and we were called, told about his condition, and nothing that they said was good, much like Ms. Cartwright was saying, you know, everything they said was nothing positive. And it really got right down to a matter of them saying 24 to 48 hours. And I asked her, I said, can we, is this a time normally without being in COVID that you would allow the family to come in? And she said, absolutely, we would. And so I said, can we come and see him? And my sister-in-law wanted to go and see her son. And so she said, let me see what I can work out. She called us back and worked it out. And a group of us went to the hospital, drove her to Ann Arbor to see my nephew. And they were called. They wanted us to come so that they could take him off those machines, off the ventilator. They wanted to pull the plug. They wanted my sister-in-law to get permission to pull the plug because his prognosis was not good. They said he has to have surgery, this particular surgery, but he won't make it through the surgery. He needs it to live, but he won't survive the surgery. So we went in, two by two, we went back to see him. And one of my nieces, Veronica, we went back together. And I took that oil back there, and we anointed him, and we began to pray, Veronica praying in the spirit, and we began to speak to him. I was not moved by what I saw. Yes, my heart was tender because that was my loved one there. But what I do know is though they said he was unconscious, they even said that because of the lack of blood flow that they didn't believe there was any brain activity, but his spirit man was alive. And so we began to speak to his spirit man. We began to pray the word of God. He is alive right now today, and this has been 2 weeks ago because we had an expectation. And I said, God, we expect to see your word. They said 24 to 48 hours. We said, let's wait on God. We have to have an expectation that God is going to manifest his word in our lives when we give him back his word.
Wow. Wow. And I've heard oftentimes said that the miracle is in your mouth. It's what you speak. You have to be in agreement.
The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So if we believe the word, we have to speak the word. And that is what we have to build. And I love what Ms. Cartwright said also. She began to build herself up. She began to encourage her own heart. She began to strengthen herself and pour in, allow that word to really increase her faith. And I want to ask her, how would you rate your faith at the time of your doctor's report about the tumor to where it is today, Ms. Evelyn?
Yes, and I'm going to, I'm hoping she can stay with us because we want to hear, she has some additional parts of her testimony. I do want to certainly get to the other callers, but Ms. Evelyn, you're going to be able to stay with us, are you?
Yes, I will.
Okay, perfect, because we're definitely going to come back to you. You see, I'm sure you have several questions that people certainly would like to ask you. I am going to be considerate and try to bring on our other callers. They probably have questions. Thank you so much for staying on, because this is wonderful. In case you are just joining us, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about miracles. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. In case you've joined us late, you know, no worries. You'll be able to go back and listen to the show in its entirety. We're going to go to the phone and keep the callers coming, you guys. I will say the last four digits in your phone number. You know I'm referring to you. Extension 3382. Extension 3382. Hello.
Hello, Donna. It's Donna, and to all the other guests. I'm just enjoying the program. This is Anthony. I'm calling from Indianapolis, and so I'm just enjoying, you know, hearing about their faith and again the miracles that have been performed, but God has given. And so again, I'm glad to hear you all share your testimony and your faith as I share the same faith. You know, I don't have any particular miracles that I've experienced in my 56 years, but it's a miracle to be alive and be healthy. I'll say that, but excuse me. I'm just grateful to be in good health, you know, and you know, I work in healthcare. You know, your caller mentioned MRIs, and that just happens to be my profession, but so I see a lot of what she says, and and a lot of just a lot of things that, you know, people go through, and I'm glad to be I'm glad to do what I do and have done for over 30 years. And also I'll mention this, a little different, is that to work in this profession or to work in healthcare, anywhere where you're serving and dealing with people that are going through a lot, I'm grateful to have an opportunity to be kind to people, because I'll say this from the work that I do, and is that when we have experiences in the hospital, we oftentimes will mention the bad experiences, but everybody likes to be treated well, and so it is my purpose, you know, in my daily work to always be, you know, kind and patient with people that I deal with. So I'll just say that, and I'll enjoy, you know, again, the program and those that are on the line. So I don't want to take up too much time, but thank you for allowing me to speak.
Well, Anthony, it's always good to hear from you, and thank you for what you're doing. You're on the front line. You know, you're working in healthcare at this time, and so we certainly do appreciate that. And, of course, that touches my heart to say that you're always kind to, you know, patients as they come in to see you. And that is just so very important. Oh, my gosh, that's so important. And then so I just thank you so much for that from the bottom of my heart. I really do, because that's not always the case at all. You know, that's not always the case. And we know that, you know, people aren't the same, and sometimes they may be having a not so good day or anything, but, you know, but we certainly do have to remember, especially being in that field, in the health field, is that, you know, generally when you interact with people, they are probably not doing their best, you know, so it's so important. So thank you so much for sharing that. I certainly do appreciate that so much. Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And the callers, we are coming to you. Thank you so much for your patience. Again, I'll say the last four digits of your number. You'll know I'm speaking with you. Extension 1524, extension 1524. Hello? Hello, extension 1524. Okay, they may be just listening, so we are going to, we're going to move on. Extension 43. 28, extension 43, last four digits, 28. Hello.
Hello, Ms. Donna.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, doing well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Oh,
this is
Tombara
Vida. Yes.
Hi, Tombara.
I am so happy to be part of this great people. I'm so excited tonight to know that God is not just with me, to know that I'm not the only one expecting and see the miracle of God. As you all hear me, I have an accent because I'm originally from Nigeria. And from the day I was born and started knowing who Jesus is in my life, I have seen miracle upon miracle happen in my life. I was started from when I was in my mother house, which is my father and mother. I have seen the miracle of God. I'm the firstborn of my dad and mom, 9 of us. But at the time, it was 4 of us. And I witnessed the enemy come in and wipe my mother's children. Dad took away too. And I'm the oldest of this family. And I saw when dad come in, and the Lord spoke to me. I was 7 years old. I would never forget about it. And I cried out to God. I said, God, why did you let my siblings die? And God spoke to me and said, I'm the one that give it and take it. I have a reason about this. And I said, God, whatever the reason is, I just hope and pray that my brothers and my sisters that have passed is with you. And he said, I'm in control. The miracle comes, and it comes during the time my mother is going home to be with the Lord. I was here in America. And the Lord came to me in the dream and said, daughter, I am about to take your mother home. And I wake up and I say, God, was that you? And so all of a sudden I fell back to sleep again. And he says, yes, it was me, God. I am speaking to you, my daughter. I'm ready to take your mother home. And I asked him in my dream. I did not wake up this time. I said, why are you doing this to me? He said, because the work that I put, that I gave her, is done on earth. I said, God, but she is not done yet. God said, yes. He said, I will be with you and your siblings. I will keep you. And I said, God, what about my dad? My mother and my father was so, that I have not seen any loving husband and wife in my whole entire life. They love each other. And I said, God, why are you doing this? He said, I got you. Your mother is for me, and all of you are for me. And God kept us. My mother's been dead. It's almost 16 years now. God kept my siblings. God kept my father. God kept me. I got married, and I have 4 children. And in the process of having all these children, trouble and trials started. And I said, God, what is going on? And he said to me, have faith. Have faith in me. And when I'm just telling you this, God is still speaking, just as he did to Moses and Abraham. He's still doing it today. And the word that God gave me was have faith. And that word of faith stood in me. Like the pastor was just saying, you have to speak the word. You have to remind God what he has said, what his word says. Then that's what he wanted to hear. He knows it, but he wanted to know that you know it, that this is what I said that I will do. And I continue to pray that prayer, and I continue to say, God, you say I should have faith in you. And I believe with all my heart that I have faith in you. And it's been so many years, I cannot mention it, that God has done miracles in my life. My last child, I called her Faith, because of what God has done to me. In that delivery bed, my child was good. Everything was good. The doctor was saying, you're doing good. The baby is good. Everything was good. Soon as I pushed the baby out, everything's silent. I saw them pick up my baby. I saw them call that blue, cold blue. And I was like, what's going on? The doctor, the nurse, they all left me on the bed. And I already hear the Lord say, this baby that you carry, her name is Faith. And so I hold on to that name. And when the doctor, they all try everything they could, everything they could, they come back to me and they said to me, Sambari, I'm sorry. The baby is not breathing. I was in my bed laying down. They didn't touch me because they're trying to revive my baby, bring my baby back. And I said, well, just bring me the baby. And they brought me the baby. And I said, can you please lay the baby on my chest? And they lay my baby on my chest. Bear in mind, they say, we're sorry. There's nothing we can do. We tried everything. And what I did is to put my baby on my chest. And I whispered to her, Faith, breathe for mommy. And as soon as I said that word, my baby screaming. Because I said it in my dialect. I didn't speak English. I said it in my dialect. Because that's what God put in me. Say, Faith, breathe for mommy. Cry out for mommy. And she cried out. And the doctors and the nurse, everybody was like, what did you just say? Then I translate it into English. I say, I call Faith, because that's the name God gave me. Say, cry out to mommy. And that's all I said. And my baby is 13 years old this month. What an awesome God we serve. What a wonderful, what a miracle God we serve. I'm just encouraging anybody that is going through that God has gave you a word, stood on that word,
stand on that word because he is a faithful God. He promised the Israelites that he would never leave them nor forsake them. Even though they go through and go around for 40 years, God promises still come. So I'm encouraging every one of us, including myself, that whatever promises God has gave to you, if he has promised you something, knowing that it is coming. And it may be already here, but you just don't know it. But God is a miracle-working God. And I just want to thank God that he trusts us with this testimony and knowing that we are his people and he is our God. So, brethren, continue to have faith in God because he would never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you all for allowing me to share this testimony and to show who God is in my life and what he has done. Good night.
Wow. Thank you so much, Tambari, for sharing this powerful testimony. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Pastor Dez. Wow. And in case you all are just joining the show or you just wondering what you're listening to, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about gifts and miracles and standing on the word. Wow, powerful testimony. Thank you all so much for sharing. Pastor Dez, I'm sure you have something to say that you're wanting to say. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that, and then we're going to pick up a couple more callers, and then we have to go back to Evelyn as well. Wow.
I was trying to keep my composure over here. I could have opened the door and just started running. My God, that's an awesome testimony right there. And it it just goes back. It confirms Ms. Cartwright's testimony and the testimony that we hear so many people that you have to believe God's word. If he said it, he will do it. He will do it. We have to believe it and hold on to it. Even when it doesn't look like it, even when everything that we're looking at in the natural says the exact opposite of what we know God's word says, we have to stick with God's word. The word says, whose report will we believe? We have to believe the report of the Lord. We have to hold on to that. I mean, it's just, we hear the testimonies every day. COVID, people that have, you know, we're diagnosed with COVID and we're in the hospital, in the ICU. I have another nephew. I don't know if he's on the line tonight, but was in ICU. And listen, God bought him out. We just, testimony after testimony, but if you talk to people with these testimonies, you'll hear some of these same things being said. We have to hold fast to the word of God and know that if he said it, he is going to do it. He's going to do it.
Yeah.
And we have to be. So, I mean, it's like you have to grab hold of that word like a bulldog and not let go. You know, when a pit bull or a bulldog get a hold of something, man, they won't let go. They lock those jaws, and that's it. We have to lock in on the word of God just like that, just like that.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, the test, the trials come. I will be the first in this season right now to tell you that. But nevertheless, God's word, it does not change. It does not change. So, just awesome testimony.
Powerful. And that's one of the main reasons I was so compelled to do this show is because what better way to encourage people than to hear these kinds of testimony? You know, so no matter what you're facing or what you're up against, to know that, you know, you can have hope because, you know, God said he is no respecter of persons. So what he has done for one, he will do for you. So we just have to remember to hold on to that. And you mentioned bulldog faith. I remember my sister Carol, she lives by that. She's always saying you got to have bulldog faith. I got bulldog faith. And then she, you know, a little dramatic too, and she just goes, bulldog faith. We're like, okay, all right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we're going to try to pick up one more caller, and then we've got to go back to Miss Evelyn before before we run out of time, and I'm just so glad that we did extend out. Extension 5630, extension 5630, those are the last four digits of your phone number. We are talking to you. Hello.
Hello, hello. Good evening,
Hi.
Everyone.
Good evening. How are you?
I am wonderful. My name is Yolanda Bradley. I'm a deaconess at Bridging the Gap Ministry, where the pastor Desiree Fowler is one of the pastors. And I am glad to be on the line tonight and just to hear the testimonies and the affirmations and the confirmations that, you know, we are in a good place in God. We're not lost and we're not forgotten in God. And just to keep hearing the testimonies coming, and it is encouragement. I'm really in my zone right now. And I thank and commend you, ladies, for doing this.
Well, thank you so much for calling to share. Thank you so much. And we're so glad that you, you know, that you're on and that you are listening. And like you said, you're in your zone. And now it's amazing, isn't it? Oh, my goodness.
It is wonderful to hear the saints' testimony. And just to know that, you know, with all else we see on television and we hear the numbers keep going up. But, you know, just to hear us exhorting God, you know, because millions did get saved, you know. Millions were affected and millions were saved, but we hear the death tolls. And, you know, we fear the numbers rising, and we hear the phones, you know, the calls from our friends and our families, and we feel the doom. Like, we really feel it. But just to hear that, you know, the affirmations going out, and to know that the saints are still on the wall, and people are yet calling out, and God is yet healing. I mean, I'm glad about it, y'all. I am. This is good. This is a good thing with y'all doing tonight. This is wonderful.
God bless you. And oftentimes we don't hear about those that have been healed from it. You know, like you said, oftentimes we'll hear the doom and gloom sign of those who are dying, but there are so many people that actually have had COVID, and they do recover, and they're healed from it. And I remember my son even mentioned that. He said, you know, you don't hear the people who, you know, recover from it. You know, you never hear that in the news. And that is so true. Thank you so much for calling this year. I certainly do appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Ms. Evelyn, we have to come back to you. And thank you all for your patience. Thank you so much for your patience. We're going to bring Ms. Evelyn.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
I'm here.
I know you are just thinking, in hearing all of these testimonies as well as yours. I mean, it has to be very encouraging. Yeah. Yeah. And I know Pastor Dez had a question for you. Pastor Dez, I'm sorry. I'm like so taken by all these testimonies. I forgot what question that you had for her.
Oh, that's okay. I was asking Miss Evelyn, how would she rate her faith at the time of her diagnosis to where it is now? How would you rate your faith? Where were you in your walk of faith at the beginning compared to where you are now?
Well, Pastor Dez, in the beginning, I really thought I had strong faith in God. I really did. But as I walked through this process, I found out that my faith was nowhere near where it needed to be. And by the end of this process, as the old song said, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. You can't make me doubt him now. Because he's not only has he healed me, but he's done so many other things. And then I'm just going to throw this out there. He did it again. So that was the brain tumor. And just recently, this past April, I had a stroke. And when I had the stroke, I found out that I had had two strokes previous to that and wasn't even aware of those two strokes. So God has been tremendously good to me. And I can't help but believe him because he's brought me through all of that.
My God, talk about walking testimony.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That is it. And, you know, we so often we hear the word process and we speak it. You know, myself, I even have to be mindful of saying and talking about the process. But it really is a process, and I love that she said she thought her faith was, she was in a place with her faith, but she was no, it was nowhere near where it needed to be or where she thought it was. And so, you know, the thing about it, and it's a lesson every day, that when we go through tests and trials and we meet challenges, that it is an opportunity for our faith to be elevated. It is exactly that, a process that God takes us through, because he knows what he's going to do with us and in us and through us, and we've got to get he has to get us to that place. So we do have to be so patient and vigilant in the process, you know, that we're in, that God has taken us through, so that we can get to the other side of this thing. But I just love that. Listen, I hear you. When you get to really, when you really have to go through something and you find out where your faith is, man, I tell you, it'll make you really, you know, you'll get up and run. You really will make an investment. You'll say, okay, God, what do I need to do? So I love that. Thank you, Miss Evelyn.
You're welcome.
And wanted to say again that, and you guys may have heard her commercial run, but the name of Evelyn's book is I Know What It Looks Like, But I Choose to Believe God. And I call it the small book with the big, powerful message. And it is a wonderful book. I mean, you can actually sit and you'll be able to read it at one sitting. And because you'll be just like, wow, really? You know, you won't put it down until you're finished. And so, Evelyn, tell them how they can get a copy of your book, would you?
You can email me at efb1762@gmail.com. Or you can send me a message on Messenger. And you can also purchase it on Amazon. It's available on Amazon.
Okay.
So you can contact me
posted
directly, or you can purchase it through Amazon.
Mm-hmm. And I did post it on, it is posted on our site as well. I'm going to see, and thank you all so much. I'm going to see, I think we have a few more callers. I'm going to see if we can pick up. We are getting down to the end of the show, and I hate to miss anyone. I'm going to, again, identify you by the last four digits of your telephone number, and it is 3504, 3504, hello.
Hello.
Hello, hi. Yep.
My name is Chester, and I was calling, and I mean, I was listening, and I was enjoying your testimony and miracle, stuff like that, and so on. Last time we was on the show, Miss Dawn, I believe I was talking about the salt, that we had some trees on the property were down, he was telling me what to do about it, but I said, I prayed about it. I said I was going to let that alone because that's the devil trying to affect my spirit. And he wanted me to go and do something bad, and I would be behind the steel and stuff like that. I don't think it would be worth it. I don't think it would be worth it. So I went and bought another one. So I keep it in my car locked up, you know. I prayed for him to be blessed. After I prayed that the Lord would bless him with his richest blessings be upon him. And so I have had some miracles in my life, and I have been through sickness and in my heart. I had heart was a heart failure. It's not called heart. It's called I think it's pacemakers and stuff like that. And the Lord brought me through. And while I was on life support, the Lord, I mean, I thought I was seeing things, you know, like I thought I was seeing my dad and all that, and he had been dead for a while. And he would let me know when he come in the hospital. And I see a crack. I thought we was outside, and I was going to try to slip away. That medicine must have had me hallucinating, because when I got up, I had a needle in my arm, and they wanted to know what was going on in my room. And so I had got up, I was going to try to slip out. And they said, Mr. Butler, what's going on? And so I said, well, I had to go to the bathroom. I lied just that quick. And they said, Mr. Butler, you don't need to be getting up by yourself, you know. But I didn't tell them I was trying to slip out. But then they told me, that we're going to fix it. Well, you don't need to get up. That you don't need to get up by yourself. You need to let us know when you need to get up. So from that, I didn't remember that I was on life support, but they told me I was on life support. But I don't know how long, but I think it was something like a week or so. And then the second time I had the pacemaker, my wife, she discovered that my chest was swollen. And I told her, she said, your chest swollen. I said, no, it's not swollen. She said, yes, it is. So she must have called the doctor for hell of me and told them about it, because when I got out of there, he said, your room is already ready. I said, what? He said, your room is already ready. And so it took me over to Mobile Infirmary, and the nurse told me, said, your pacemaker are not bad. You only have one lead that they have to put in there. So she was telling me them things, but believe me, I suffered. And when I woke up, they had me in a restraining order. And when I woke up, I was in a pool of blood. And I called that nurse and told her to take that restrainer off of me, because I was hyping. And they had to get it off, because I don't like to be where I can't move.
Sure, and so she took it off, and I
got that restrainer here right now. But
and you're doing better.
Lord,
You're doing better now, though, right?
Hey, yeah. Because that's 5 years ago. I remember 5.5 years ago. So every 10 years, they have to put a battery in that thing. They take that pacemaker out and put the new battery in and stitch you back up.
You're doing better. I'm so glad that you called and shared that testimony with us. Yes. And I'm going to make sure, too, that I'm going to let Pastor Williams know that you decided not to pursue that with the other minister. Okay.
I'm going to tell him. Lord, bless me with more riches, bless him.
Amen. So I'm gonna let him know that. I'll reach out to him next week and let him know that. And so thank you for sharing. I know we're getting ready to run out of time, but I'm so glad that you were able to share that with us, okay?
Amen.
All right.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. God bless you. All right. Well, wow, everyone. First, I need to apologize to those who sent emails. We did not have an opportunity to address any of those. My apologies. I'm so sorry. But this has been just a phenomenal, oh, my goodness, Pastor Dez, wow. Oh, my goodness. This has been absolutely an amazing evening. And I just want to thank everyone for participating, everyone for sharing their testimonies. And listen, certainly, let me remind you that our shows are archived. This is definitely one of the shows you're going to want to go back and listen to time and time again. I know I am certainly going to be doing that myself. When you need to be encouraged, go back and listen to this show. And Pastor Dez, I'm just so grateful that you were able to join this evening. I so appreciate you and Pastor Aaron and your ministry and what you do. We certainly do appreciate it. as well. If you can take maybe about, we have probably about 4 minutes, so if you can take about a minute or so and just whatever you want to leave our listeners with would be great.
Hey, man, I certainly appreciate the opportunity. I thank God for just being able to come on. Ms. Donna, it's always a blessing when we come on with you. Great information, and we always learn so much and are encouraged. So I just thank you for the opportunity on this evening to be a part of the show. And just want to encourage everyone with some of the same words that we've heard spoken tonight. We're in a season where we have to believe God as we never have before. We have to stand on the Word of God, believe the Word of God, speak the Word of God, and expect manifestation of His Word in our lives. And as we draw to a close in 2020, I've been encouraging Bridging the Gap to do a self evaluation, you know, take inventory and make sure that the awesome gifts, skills, and abilities that He's given us, that we are putting those to use, that we are making the best out of it, that when God comes back to check those things that He's given us, He'll find a return on it, that we didn't bury it, but that we've taken it and we allow Him to mature us and grow us, and that there's a return on that. So we just want to make good on that God has invested in us, that He has downloaded in us. Whatever we can do, whatever we can find our hand to do to serve God and to serve others, we need to be doing that, walking in our calling. Know what God has called you to and begin to walk that thing out. We don't have time to be lazy, to be complacent. It is time to move and work for God. He has been so faithful to us and given us so much. It is time to make sure that we're showing God how much we appreciate Him. We're telling, you know, sharing the good news. Yes.
Thank you so much again. And again, I just want to applaud everybody who participated this evening. Thank you so much. Your testimony was powerful, and I so thank you. Those of you that support our show, that listen every week, we certainly do appreciate that. If you have a topic, etiquette question or topic that you would like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know. And we appreciate when you tell your friends and family about our show and invite them to listen as well. And listen, during the season of Christmas, oh my goodness, I challenge you to see who you can give something to. Give something to them. Give them even a good word, a smile. Encourage someone, okay, during this season. And never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That just happens to be one of my favorite Proverbs 3:3. And Anthony, he mentioned kindness. That is just so important. It's just so, I mean, it doesn't cost us a penny to be kind and nice to someone. And again, I hope that you heard something this evening that encouraged you, that inspired you. I really, really do hope so. And listen, I pray that each and every one of you have a very merry, merry Christmas. We will not be on next week, but we will be on the following week. And so listen, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. If you're in Georgia and you haven't voted, please vote. Please vote. It's very critical. It's very crucial. Okay, I also want to remind you to stay safe. Good night. Take care, and God bless.
There is a lot of uncertainty going on in our world today, but you can be certain that Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and What Is Etiquette Anyway talk show, will be here to continue to encourage you. Stay safe and be encouraged. You've been listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we will discuss another exciting topic.